Today's episode of Part of My Take is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek has the best seats on all the internet. Here's what you do. You go download the free SeatGeek app. You click add a promo code. You enter the promo code TAKE, T-A-K-E, and SeatGeek will send you $20 once you made your first ticket purchase. I've used this. I know a bunch of you have used it. It is a great, great deal. We're in Pittsburgh. During Grit Week, SeatGeek hooked it up. We sat in the second row. We were so out of place. The snobby Lexus Club, rich people everywhere. We were sitting there drinking beers, eating free hot dogs, pocketing candy. I did pocket some candy in the Lexus Club.
Choco tacos.
All because of SeatGeek. So they hooked it up. But the best part was a bunch of stoolies met us at the game. They used this promo code. Basically paid for their tickets. They found cheap tickets, $20 back to them. It was like going to the game for free. So go to the SeatGeek app. You click add a promo code. You enter the promo code TAKE, and SeatGeek will send you $20 once you made your first ticket purchase. Let's go.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take. It is Tuesday, May 31st. The Warriors are alive, and I am dead.
You bet on this game, didn't you?
Not only did I bet this game, and Steph, that motherfucker. I think you could say motherfucker when it comes to like gambling stuff, because that's just pure passion. It's not real anger. It's in the moment anger.
No, yeah. No, motherfucker. Like, why wouldn't you ever say that? Yeah.
So Steph, that motherfucker, he hits that three when you really no need to. They cover. But more than that, if you remember correctly, last week I was dancing on the Warriors' grave. I was Kermit the Frog drinking tea in everyone's face. I was tweeting pictures of Scottie Pippen wearing the "it don't mean a thing, you don't got that ring." I now have to eat so much crow. So here I am. Humble pie. This is what you need every now and then. Put you back on a few pegs.
When you're told that you need to eat crow, like all you have to say is like, okay, now I freely admit I was wrong. I'm eating crow. And then you get to say like whatever stupid shit you want moving forward, right? Usually, like your sentence is done as soon as you say I was wrong.
Yeah. Usually I do the for flair, I'll recite the Jim Calhoun I fucked up speech. I took Emeka Okafor and Caron Butler. I fucked up. What do you want me to do? So I said the Warriors were dead before they were actually dead. They came back from the death. But if you remember correctly, there's one person who predicted this. Person in the world.
Stephen A. Smith. That's right.
Stephen A. Smith. Now, let me read the tweet before we get into it. He said, on May 24th, he said, if anyone can come back from this, it's the Warriors. But let me be the first to say, I just can't see it. But if you read that first sentence again, he did pick the Warriors, but he also didn't.
I just want to say, I selected at the start of the playoffs, I picked my Golden State Warriors to make the NBA Finals. So I feel like, you know, this is a pretty good day for me, getting to kind of rub it in your face a little bit. A lot of people didn't think the Warriors could make it. They thought that maybe they won too many games in the regular season. Like, I always like to say that wins are like eggs inside of a woman. And once you use too many of them, they're gone. And you can't get fertility treatments.
It's like your push-ups. You can only do a certain amount of push-ups in a day.
Yeah, exactly. Like push-ups, ovums, that type of thing. And I was just the guy I knew. All my friends were like, yo, PFT, are these Warriors really that good? And I was like, they are. And so now it's kind of like sweet vindication for me. It was also good to see Russ. It was good to see Westbrook just kind of just all the flopping caught up to him. And the thing I don't like about the guy is if you're going to be a flopper, you can't be a tough guy. It's either or. Okay? You can't be snarling the whole game.
You have to be Manu if you're going to be a flopper. Really bald and kind of like, is that guy even a basketball player?
Flopping
all over the place. Okay.
No one's going to believe there's flops.
Yeah.
And it's same problem Harembe, the gorilla, got himself into. Harembe was always like snarling all the time. And so when a kid came in there, they couldn't believe that he had a soft side.
Right.
And they shot him. So the Warriors basically pulled a Cincinnati zookeeper on the Thunder tonight and put him out of their misery.
It was an unbelievable series. That's a series that will haunt Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook for the rest of their lives. They were up in game six at home, ready to bury the Warriors, and they choked down the stretch. And then they come into game seven. I actually thought in the first half, I mean, they had the crowd totally shook. They looked like they were in control. And the Warriors do what they do. They just start hitting threes, and 1 second you're, you know, up six, and the next second you're down 10. I don't know. That's where does Kevin Durant go now?
Well, is it fair to say that Kevin Durant is potentially like the Dan Marino of the NBA?
He's going everywhere, though, right?
We got to start having that conversation, though. Like, is he the best player that will never win a championship? Anytime there's a good player that's never won a championship, you get to talk a little bit of shit about Dan Marino. These are the rules.
Yep.
So, like, is Kevin Durant going to be that guy? I think he might be. Let's also not forget the Lil B curse. Does that follow Kevin Durant?
Yes.
Like if he goes to the Wizards, or does that get left behind in Oklahoma City?
So is that still is obviously in place?
Yeah, that's. I think that's it's the Kevin Durant curse. So I think wherever he goes, it's still.
So does Lil B? Now I'm not. I mean, obviously I know my curses. I don't know if you guys know this, but the Cubs are cursed. There's a goat named Murphy. People forget that. Is Little B saying that this is going to be a curse that, like, he's keeping on Kevin Durant forever?
He's cursed. He cursed James Harden 2 years ago pretty bad.
See, you can't just curse that everyone, work. Though.
You know what? I'm going to start cursing the shittiest players. That's going to be my thing. All right? So just let it be known right now that
cursing
I don't
Dion Waiters.
Dion Waiters would be a really good one. I'm not sure if Chris Humphreys is ever going to win a national championship.
Nope.
I don't think that he'll win a title.
Cursed.
Sorry, Chris. You're on the list. Hey, real quick, speaking of the Cubs, do you know what their magic number is?
What is it?
Well, I'm just saying, like, they're pretty good. I thought you might know what the magic number is. It's 108, but, like, right around the corner, you guys are pretty much clinched. So just I'm going to keep bringing that up and just keep you updated.
I appreciate
that. Let's go to that title.
We're ready. We're already at magic numbers. I appreciate that. Back to the game.
If you were Kevin Durant, would you apologize to Lil B and try and get the curse off you?
I think you have to, right?
No, you got to kill him.
Okay, so you either have to kill him or maybe you just kill his. Like, does Lil B have any children?
I'm sure Lil B has a couple of children.
You kill his children and put him in like a witch's brew, like a stew. This might be a little too much, but I mean, we're also talking about a man's livelihood. You don't want to be the next Dan Marino.
Right. No.
Like if Dan Marino, if you had, now this is a hypothetical I didn't think we would get to talking about Game 7 Thunder Warriors. But if Dan Marino, if you had said to him during his career, "Hey Dan, you can win a Super Bowl, but you got to kill a small child. No one will find out." You think he does it?
I think it has a lot to do with like how small of a child we're talking about.
The less it matters.
Right. Well, yes, exactly. That's how the law works, dude. I don't know if you ever cracked open a book. If it's over 2 years old and it's like walking around on its old
talking
on its own.
It's like, why are you killing me, Dan Marino?
Yeah. Yeah. If it's asking a bunch of questions, that's going to be tough to do. If it's under two, I'd say, yeah, you could do it in a really nonviolent way, like smothering it. And it probably wouldn't be able
throwing
to
throw it in a gorilla pit.
It couldn't lift its little hands up to like push the pillow off. That I could see Dan Marino doing if he didn't choke and like mess up at the last second when he was trying to kill it.
Oh, my God. I did not think we would be here.
It went to a dark place real fast.
We took a We took a turn that no one expected on that
one. I'll say this. This could have been prevented if Matt Barnes had kidnapped Riley Curry before the last game of the season.
Yes. Yes.
So that didn't happen. Yeah, I'm sick of throwing all these great ideas out there and nobody ever using them.
Couple more things from this game. Draymond Green, he is very, very hateable now. Can we all agree on that? That move to hold on Steven Adams. I know that it's always been that Draymond is like the heartbeat for the Warriors, and you love seeing what he brings, and he's so dynamic, and he can play. He allows the Warriors to do all their things with the small ball. But he's now like a Dwayne Wade dirty guy where he has all these accidents, and the accidents always end up hurting someone else.
Yeah, new segment idea, okay? What if he were a different color? In this case, let's say, like, hypothetically, what if Draymond Green was Raymond Green and he was a white guy?
I'd say he'd probably be more hated.
He might be more hated, but he also might get away with – he might also be more loved by a large collection of the audience there.
Did he go to Duke or not? That's the biggest question.
Well, that is always definitely in the equation. But also, if you're a white guy, you can get away with being dirty a little bit better because you just naturally look uncoordinated when you fall down.
Like
Dellavedova. So people believe you when you're just like flopping down and like grabbing somebody by the – oh, that's Kelly – how do you pronounce his last name? Kelly Olsnick or whatever?
Olenek.
Olenek, yeah. Yeah, well, that's just Kelly Olenek. He must have just he was probably trying to dance and got his arm caught up with Kevin Love and pulled him over. So if Draymond were white, I actually think he would be more loved overall.
Oh, I disagree.
That sounds like a poll question.
Yeah.
Sounds like a PMT
poll.
Sounds
like we just embraced the debate. We need to get someone to Photoshop him so it looks so we can see white Raymond.
Is that really racist?
Yeah, when they made like the white Michael Vick.
Yeah. Remember? Is that racist though? Like, can you whiteface somebody?
I guess we will now find out. That is a question we will now have to ask.
But yeah, I agree with you. He's a dirty little fucker. And I think you need somebody on your team where your whole team says, yeah, I love that guy because he's on my team, but if he wasn't on my team, I'd hate him. You need that guy.
I agree with you, okay? But Draymond is too skilled for that. That's why I always thought it was bullshit that Dwayne Wade does it. You need that guy, but it needs to be a guy off the bench who comes in and does that shit. Not a guy who's arguably your third most important player on your entire team.
You ever hear of a guy named Dennis Rodman
playing
in your backyard for a while?
I knew you were going to go there.
Was he not skilled enough to be bad?
No, I mean, he was obviously skilled. I mean, Draymond can actually shoot the ball, though. He has skill. I mean, he does things on both sides of the court that allow the Warriors to play a certain way and basically have the run that they've had the last 2 years.
Yeah, I guess I'm okay with it.
Okay.
I as a fan, I just like some guy who might go out there and kick somebody in the balls at any given minute. Like, I'm not a big sportsmanship guy right now.
No, I guess my whole problem with it is I'm okay with it, and I completely agree with you that you need a guy like that. I'm not okay with, like, the narrative that Draymond is, like, this fearless leader that, like, he's the heartbeat of the team and pumps them up. Yeah, he pumps them up by trying to fucking hurt the other players. Like,
okay, let's take this to football real quick. In Dominican Sue. From the Dolphins, is he too good to be bad?
Yes.
Okay, even though his job is just basically to go out there and be bad.
Yeah, I like my like tough guys and my clowns and my bozos to be like totally unskilled, and you just throw them in to rough people up.
Okay, yeah, I can appreciate that, and I get where you're coming from, but at the same time, I'm not going to pick and choose. It's the NBA. I'll take a dirty player where I can get one.
So the Cavs need to counter. I think our boy Dante Jones, former teammate of no big deal, not to brag, might be up for that challenge. He's got a little streak like that where he – don't you agree, Hank? He has that streak where he's kind of a little – he like will run under a guy shooting a three.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think Dante Jones needs to come out and wait and like maybe just randomly guard – Draymond Green, which makes no sense because not only is it make no sense height wise, but Dante Jones doesn't play. And, but bring him out and have him just like run directly under, or maybe give him that light push in the back when you're going up for a layup that can basically paralyze someone.
Did you see the dude do that to Livingston tonight?
Yeah.
On that dunk?
Dude, that's the most dangerous play in basketball. If you've ever gone up for a layup,
like injury prone, because that could have been bad.
Yeah, but if you've ever gone up for a layup in basketball and someone like even just lightly nudges you in the back, you actually could get paralyzed. You lose all control of your body. So Dante Jones, if you're listening, I know you are. That's got to be you. I need to talk to you about a tweet that happened over the weekend when we were blacked out on Grit Week, which we're getting to in a second. We're going to recap all of Grit Week. Seth Davis, did you see this?
No.
After the Warriors won, he tweeted out, "Steph makes me want to be a better man."
That's sweet. What a sweet thing to say.
Isn't that the sweetest tweet you've ever
I don't even understand that. Like,
Steph makes me want to be a better man. Because he can dribble the basketball and shoot really cool threes.
Okay, so did you see Steph today when he bricked that shot after he like made a dude fall down?
Yeah.
That's the worst play in basketball, as far as I'm concerned. That's a play where like there are going to be letters to the editor written saying Steph Curry dribbles too much because he bricked that shot. If you're going to put a guy on his back, you have to make it.
But should we complain that because Steph Curry can hit a basketball shot, Seth Davis wants to like be a better husband and father to his children? We should just take it how we can get it.
Okay, so I think it's fine that he makes Steph want to be a better, or he makes Seth want to be a better husband and father. But now I'm really concerned, like, what Seth is going to do to become a better husband and father. Like, what inspiration is he going to take? Is he going to walk around like chewing on like a butter knife out of his mouth all day, or like how is he going to really try to be more like Steph in his day-to-day life?
Or flip side, what happens if Steph like trips up, maybe a scandal, doesn't win the title? Is Seth Davis going to go and just like divorce his wife and like stop paying child support?
Because
inspiration as a man, a grown man's 27-year-old male inspiration isn't as good as he thought he was.
How old is Seth? Is Seth in his, like, I'm guessing mid-30s, upper 30s?
I mean, older than that, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of, it's a weird thing to say. In fact, like, I would hope that it never got back to Steph that Seth said that, because that would make
46.
For, like, he's 46.
Yeah. 46.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And he's like, wow, this 27-year-old guy is really showing me how to live my life. The 2 hours I watch of basketball, of him playing basketball, make me want to be a better person.
If you're 46, you shouldn't even have a Twitter account. Like, that's number one. That's kind of weird.
Twitter account.
Number two is now you're like saying that a 27-year-old is your hero and is going to make you like pick up your 13-year-old kid at a more appropriate time from school every day. Like, what inspiration is a 27-year-old going to give you?
I who knows? We need to get Seth Davis on to figure out what exactly Steph Curry, what in Steph Curry makes him want to be a better man, and how is he practicing that better man behavior?
Yes. How's he putting Steph Curry into his own life?
People trying to be like better themselves are fucking losers and tryhards. That's really the point.
I'm okay as I am.
Yeah, right.
That's what I was told to say about myself growing up.
Yeah. I have one last thing for this game, and then we will go to Grit Week. Magic Johnson. World, get ready for LeBron James versus Steph Curry in the NBA Finals.
Oh,
never been seen.
Are those the two that are going to play each other?
Never been seen. They're going to play 7-game series, 1-on-1. It's never been done. Magic is ready, and so am I.
Yep. I just want to toss this out here. The Cleveland Cavaliers have not lost a game since I left my wallet in the queue. So I'm not going to pick my – I tracked it down. It's there. I know it's there.
Oh.
Talked to the security guard, and I said, tell you what, you just hang on to it for now. That'll be my little gift to you. – My wallet's going to be in there until the end of the finals, and then I'll get it back because I think my wallet has actually helped the Cavs so far. So, if I keep the wallet there, the Cavs aren't going to lose a home game. They might take it to seven games, but they're not losing at home.
Little based PFT. The right. What's the word? The magnanimous curse.
Yeah, sure. There you go. Yes,
that was. Can I get PFT. A little credit for that? Pulling that out on Memorial Day, the night after Grit Week, pulling magnanimous. I don't have it twice. Forget it. Let's move on. Let's go to MeUndies. Let's move on.
All right, let's talk about some underwear. One of the most important articles of clothing. It's like the breakfast of your clothes. Whether you're wearing a suit or sweats, you spend almost 24 hours a day in your underwear. But instead of making a statement like Superman's tights under his everyday clothes, your underwear is probably boring. MeUndies is here to change that. I'm wearing MeUndies right now. Matter of fact, MeUndies was the only thing that we had on Grit Week that made us actually feel like human beings because we were wearing dirty clothes every day, Goodwill clothes every day, but at least we got to toss on a fresh, clean pair of underwear at the start of it, and we felt great. It's pretty much like taking a shower, honestly, like putting on a new pair of underwear. You don't have to clean yourself. You feel great. You feel confident. Every pair of MeUndies is made from a sustainably sourced modal, a fabric that's twice as soft as cotton. Two times. Nothing can describe the fit and feel of MeUndies, but once you try them on, you'll understand why they're called the world's most comfortable underwear. If you don't love your first pair, they're free. No questions asked. MeUndies has dozens of styles and limited edition prints to help you make a statement with your underwear, whether anyone can see them or not. So remember, Superman, you get free shipping in the U.S. and Canada. You save up to $8 a pair with a MeUndies subscription plan. Get the subscription, or you can get a single pair. You get 20% off whatever your first order is when you go to MeUndies.com/take. That's MeUndies.com/take for 20% off your first order, MeUndies.
Just a quick heads up. This just hit the tweets. Kevin Durant will never win the title after he said Little B is a whack rapper. The base God's curse. The base God's curse on Durant. Signed, Little B. So there you go. It's
there.
It.
You go.
It's
man.
Gone. It's still going. MeUndies, lifesaver, right?
That's exactly right, man. Like I was saying, it's basically like taking a shower every day. As long as you change your underwear,
yes,
you still feel like you're kind of clean.
All right. So this is a good segue into what we're going to talk about now. We're not going to have a guest on today, because we thought it would be more appropriate to recap all of Grit Week, the three of us, and that's what people want to hear about. We do have Michael Rapoport on tomorrow, so don't worry. It's not like we're just foregoing guests. He's going to talk about the NBA Finals. Grit Week. First of all, what's the vital check on everyone in this group right now?
I'm at about 75% battery life right now for myself.
Oh, wow. Oh,
and the only reason it's that high is because I've been fading out of the weekend gradually. Got my Pedialyte, had a couple cocktails yesterday, had a Bloody Mary this morning, spent some time in the sun, sweated out a little bit. That's another key. So right now, I imagine that tomorrow morning I'll be back to close to 100%.
Wow.
But it's been a rough come down.
Hank, how are you?
I'm at like 25%.
Yeah.
Basically,
okay, good.
Me and Feidelberg drove. It was a 14-hour drive. It took us 20 hours. It was pouring rain. I drove 15 of the hours, middle of the night. Got home. It's 8 a.m. today, and then I had to move out of my apartment. So,
God, that sucks.
Brutal. I'm about the same, Hank. I went. I'm not feeling so good. This is going to take a few days for me to get over. But Grit Week was a resounding success. Let's do a quick... let's do a ranking of the cities. So I want everyone ranking the cities, and then I want favorite moment that we can tell our listeners about Grit Week, and maybe a little Indy 500. Let's start with some Indy 500. Indy 500 is unlike anything I've ever seen.
It's just insane. It's the weirdest state holiday that you've ever seen. I don't even know if it's actually a state holiday, but it sure seems like one in Indiana. Oh,
it's a religion there.
There were dudes walking around on Carb Day, which, as we learned, does not mean carbohydrate. It means Carburation Day.
Yep.
There are people walking around, just T-shirts everywhere, saying, "I skip work on Carb Day." And it's like that's like their national saying or their statewide saying.
There were people who were camping out from Thursday morning all the way through Monday, just sitting in the sun for 4 days straight outside their RV or tent and getting fucked up and like not really doing anything, maybe playing some tailgate games, maybe like blasting some country music. But it was anytime you walked around Lot C, the Coke lot, there were just like some people passed out, some people full blown partying. It was like every stage of partying at every moment of the day. So it was a wild anarchy. I've never seen anything like it.
To me, it was like a radio music festival, except there's no stage that you can walk to. So it was like the infield of one of those in-between acts. It was like always in between Third Eye Blind and like Limp Bizkit, right? And there's this anticipation because Fred Durst and the guys are going to be up on stage next, but you never actually like had to listen to any loud music. It was just like that party atmosphere the whole time. A lot of shirtless dudes.
Oh.
I'll say interesting women in various states of undress.
Great, great, great tattoos. Some of the best tattoos I've ever seen at the Indy 500. Everyone's got a tattoo, and they're as regrettable as the tattoos look to maybe, I'm not gonna say city folk, but people who don't come to the Indy 500 every now and then, nothing but pride from the people with their tattoos.
Yeah, so it reminded me of Canton, Ohio, a lot, actually. Yeah. When I was in Canton at the Hall of Fame, I saw this dude. He had a Monster Energy tattoo on his arm. And then there was a guy that saw his Monster Energy tattoo and walked up to him and was like, "These are two total strangers, by the way." Dude goes, "That's a sweet tattoo, man." The guy's like, "Yeah, thanks. I got it, you know, a couple streets over right here in town." And the other guy goes, "Check this out." He rolls his pants leg up, and he's got a Monster Energy tattoo. there were a bunch of energy drink tattoos. There were a lot of deer tattoos too.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't know what that means. Like, if you get a tattoo of a deer, was that like the best deer you ever killed, or like a deer that like killed a family member of yours or something?
Has to be a story behind it. I would hope. I hope you don't put a deer on your body unless there's like a pretty decent story that you can then tell when someone walks up to you and says, "Yo, what's that deer on your body?"
Could be like a teardrop. Like if you get a teardrop, it's because you murdered someone. If you get a deer. Yes.
So that's like the Indiana like gang is like you get deers all over your body. That actually makes sense.
The dude I'm thinking of not only had a deer tattoo but also had like a little piece of deer antler around his neck. So like maybe that deer like held special meaning to him. I'm trying to figure out like what it was, but yeah.
The other thing I loved about the Coke lot, you don't even come close to like trying to clean up your mess during the partying. So it's basically who can have the biggest pile of cans at any time. Cans, burnt things, broken chairs. It all goes into one big pile and it becomes super impressive. And there's also just no rules. Like the snake pit on Sunday race day, people were just passed out. People were partying. People were peeing, puking, doing whatever they want, and everyone was having a good time. I've never seen anything like it. I really have never seen anything like it.
I don't think I saw a single member of law enforcement the entire time we were there. It was basically like if you wanted to, it could have been like the purge, and you could have killed probably 15 people via like some relatively quiet method before law enforcement ever caught on to you in that lot.
There were a couple cops who rolled up when I tweeted a picture of this guy shotgunning a beer. It was probably maybe 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. They were all blacked out. They were shotgunning beers and they had, I don't know, it was probably like a foot and a half long knife. And
Good. It
was dangerous. There was blood in the corner, like where someone had obviously screwed up. Cops rolled up. They were just like, "You guys being safe?" Like, yeah. Like, I think one of them puked. I get to say to the cops, and then they just kept on rolling. So they're just there to make sure that like a little bit of a semblance of order is seen every like 7 hours.
People were there for so long that they had septic trucks drive around and empty out people's shit.
Yes. That's the other thing we learned with the C-Lot. If you're doing the C-Lot, you actually don't have to bring anything. It's all you have to do is bring your beer, because people come around with ice. They come around with septic. They come around with pizzas. Yep. They come around with everything. If you just come with cash and beer, you pretty much are good for 4 days straight.
And I liked a lot how once the RV got really messy, you just open up the door and you just push all the trash inside out, like onto the grass outside. It's like when you're cleaning up your room when you're a kid and you put stuff in the closet so that your mom thinks that you cleaned it up. The entire world is your closet when you live in an RV.
It was a scene. A great end to Grit Week. I don't know if we can ever do it again. We'll do Grit Week again. I don't know if we can ever end at the Indy 500 again.
Yeah.
Because it takes that much out of you. I think it's a young man's game. It seemed like if you were a recent college graduate, it would be the most fun party of your life. As a guy who's 31, I was just like mumbling to myself, I really want to go home. I really want to go home.
I was just like, I wonder if these kids' parents know where they are right now. Like I was starting to worry about some of them.
Yeah, so someone please call an adult, even though I'm an adult. But I'm not really, because I'm at the Indy 500 C-Lot. All right, the actual Grit Tour. Let's rank the cities. Definitive list of cities that we visited. No hard feelings. Listen, people out there, if we put your city last and you cry to us, we're taking your man card. Be forewarned.
Number one for me, Buffalo, New York.
Agreed.
The people were they were awesome. They were very welcoming. They were the first to volunteer to get put through a table at like 10 minutes notice. Also, like hanging out with Rob Ryan, that really left an impression on me. Like when I think Buffalo, I think of that 10 minutes we spent on the van with Rob and that twinkle in his eye when he was looking around at all the empty beer cans and we were talking McDonald's. Yep. So, yeah, between the people and all the chicken wings that we ate there, I'd say Buffalo is a solid number one for me.
Hank?
I liked Pittsburgh more. I liked Buffalo for all the reasons you just said. Nothing against Buffalo. But it was also like in the middle of absolutely nowhere. Pittsburgh had a lot of good things to offer, and you felt like it was also like a fun city to live in.
Okay. All right. I mean, I'm ranking Buffalo number one as well, simply because of the people. They are the best. There's no one better. They were welcoming. They came up to the bus. They were awesome. But I do agree. Pittsburgh's my number two. Pittsburgh was a beautiful, beautiful city.
I just like to say, I feel like Hank is really getting sold a bill of goods on Pittsburgh here. It's a great city. Not that close to anything else, though, Hank. All you saw was a couple rivers, okay?
Yeah.
You put a couple rivers in front of Hank, and he thinks that he's in Key West.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh was good. I'm going to put Pittsburgh 2,
okay.
But it's a distant 2 behind Buffalo. I just want to say that for all my Buffalo.
To be fair, we literally only saw the inside of wing places when we were in Buffalo.
Yes, true, that's correct.
I feel like that's Buffalo.
Yeah.
Like, what else do you need to see?
All right, Pittsburgh's number 2 for me.
All right, so let's get your 3, because Hank went Pittsburgh, Buffalo. PFT, you and I went Buffalo, Pittsburgh. Hank, what's 3?
Well, it's in Indianapolis count or Cincinnati?
Yeah, Indianapolis has to be on there.
Indianapolis would be 3 then.
Okay. I'm going to go – I actually like that pick. I think Indianapolis – I've always said Indianapolis is an underrated city. Great place to go see a Final Four. And special spot in our heart for the milk puke challenge we did in the middle of Indianapolis. I will forever love Indianapolis for maybe the 30 best seconds of video that we've ever produced, the nut tap puke video. If you haven't checked it out on Part of My Day,
I'm not going to look at that fountain the same way. I want to say Indy next, but I'm going to go Cincy. I'm going to go with Cincinnati, number 3, just because of the hilariousness of Skyline Chili. I love the fact that that's their regional food. At least they have a regional food. You know that? Like, What's Indianapolis's regional food? Exactly. Yeah.
It blows my mind that people actually eat Skyline Chili. Like, for lunch.
And it's not like it's not one of those things that people just started piling on and it became a thing to pile on. It's really, really, really bad.
I'm convinced, absolutely convinced, that everyone in the city of Cincinnati just said, we're going to fuck with the world. So anytime they come to Cincinnati, we're going to make them eat this disgusting chili and tell them that it's all we eat.
I also like the idea that that Cincinnati is basically in two different states. You get a little Cincinnati in in Ohio, and then you get a little JV Cincinnati down there in Kentucky.
things get weird. Yeah.
That's where you go. That's where all the Cincinnatians go if they got some warrants and they need to lay low. They all you got to do is cross a river.
Yep. Okay. So we're down to four. I'm going to rank. I'll put Cincy as my four. What do you got, Hank?
Same.
Okay. And then PFC, what do you got for?
Four. I'm going to go Indy. I think we're all in the same mindset.
So it sounds like we're going to go unanimous decision. Cleveland is our fifth.
Actually, my fifth is going to be Youngstown, and then my sixth is going to be Cleveland.
Cleveland got probably a bad rap from us because we had to witness a Cavs game, and I don't think any of us like Cavs fans. We went to the queue where they had a away watch party, and it was 10,000 people watching someone else's TV and paying for food, stadium food. I don't know. I like real prices for stadium food. So I think we got a little bit of a weird experience in Cleveland, but Cleveland, I think, is our last.
Yeah, Cleveland's going to be bringing up the rear, but I am a big fan of Browns fans. We talked about this. I feel like we did like the night after we were in Cleveland. One of the best times I've ever had in my life is tailgating in the Muni lot before a Browns game.
We got to do that
like
this year.
Old ladies talking shit about Josh Gordon for getting suspended for weed as they're smoking a joint, like 70-year-old women. That was a pretty excellent time. So I don't want the people of Cleveland to take this the wrong way, but I had a really awful time in your city last week.
And you lost your wallet.
That probably has a lot to do. But my gift back to you is going to be giving you three home wins this playoff series. So you're welcome.
We are definitely going to go to the Muni lot this year. We're going to give ourselves back to Cleveland here. Let them prove what they're really worth. Because I agree. I think we got a bad night. It was a Monday night. It was a Cavs game. Not exactly where you want to see Cleveland. So we'll do that. I'm not quitting on Cleveland. Not just yet. What else we got? Any other highlights or memories?
I want to talk about being in the back of the RV, trying to sleep on the highway a little bit. One of the safest feelings I'll ever have is like the bus swerving side to side while I'm in my tiny little bunk bed. Yep. I pull up Twitter on my phone and I'm checking Twitter. Dan's driving, by the way. And all I see in my notification list is Dan favoriting tweets over and over again, one right after the other. So like we're swerving across the highway. And I know that all Big Cat's doing is just refreshing the Twitter feed the whole time.
Sorry, I'm addicted to content. Sorry, I want to see this podcast do well, guys.
You hear the thing hit the rumble strip, and then you see Dan's head look up and focus back on the road.
That's actually exactly what happened.
Let me ask you a question. Are we all still alive right now?
We are, but as I said on the trip, like it wouldn't have been the worst thing in the world if we had all died.
No.
Like the day after we made the Bro Sweet video, we're all feeling good about the content that was coming out. Going out in just like a blaze of glory in a fiery, fiery RV wreck somewhere between like Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, I would say we would probably go down as internet legends. Is that really a bad thing?
The Allman Brothers of blogging.
Exactly.
Is that a bad thing? I mean, yeah. Come on now.
Like they've got Club 27 in rock and roll music. We would have started Club 31, which sounds a lot cooler, by the way, where all of the blogging superstars die before they reach the tender age of 32.
I apologize for that. I did not text and drive, though. I'm done with that.
You tweeted and drove a lot.
Yeah, there's a difference. Yeah, exactly. There's a difference. But we did survive. I would say it was a great week. We're definitely going to do it next year. We have some ideas for next year. We might. The idea has been thrown around that we might go to non-gritty cities and try to, like, we'll go to Miami, Atlanta, Philadelphia, the real soft-ass cities of America and try to teach them what grit looks like.
That's right. Absolutely. And thinking back on like the different football guys that we met with and talked to about grit, I came to the conclusion we're not football guys, me and you.
Yeah.
We're not football guys, but we are football guys.
Right? Oh, fan,
you know, so we got that
better.
Yeah, we're big football guys.
Because football guys don't like guys.
Right.
In general, they only like football. So it's like they just like football, and they sort of like their family because they have to like their family to show that they're real human beings once in a while. But if we're football guys, I mean, what's better than that?
So I guess we could both be football guys and football guys. Both, I think both of the above accurately.
Football guys love being guys with us.
Yeah. And we also love being dudes around football guys. So like both ways. I think what we learned about this trip is that we can get along with football coaches, which is not something that everybody in America can claim.
Bo Pelini not like punching me in the face 5 or 6 times means I am the quintessential football guy.
That's the equivalent of him telling you that he loves you.
Yes.
Like him not punching you.
He even admitted it. He's like, only, you pissed me off. Yeah.
Right. Right. And football guys, they're only polite like maybe once a week and then to their daughter when she gets married. Like those are the two times that a football guy is presentable in public.
Yeah. So, man, big win for us. I'd say that's probably the biggest win of the week is becoming football guys.
Yep.
Look at us now. All right, let's get into some segments. Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day was yesterday, which means one thing. Lacrosse has the center stage for like an hour and a half. People actually care about lacrosse in America for an hour and a half. So with that, we have Hank talking lacrosse, because Hank is on the record saying lacrosse is going to be more popular than baseball in 30 years. So Hank, lay it on us.
50 years. Thrilling game, costly headhunting penalty in overtime, cost Maryland.
Oh, how can you call that?
You got to let the boys play.
It's overtime. You swallow the whistles, let it sort it out on the field.
Bro,
like that. Come on.
There was probably – did anyone like go up to the ref and was like, bro?
No, but the UNC coach turned his hat around at the start of overtime, which meant he meant business.
That's okay. Amazing. Okay.
And then Chris Clotaire hit a dirty snip on the half chet, and they scored game winner.
Say that one again for us, please, for the listening audience who does not know lacrosse terminology. Lacrosse. Yeah,
dirty snip in the left half chet of the goal.
Wait, is Ched the name of a player, or is that a spot on the field called the Ched?
I think the goal is the Ched.
And you still haven't told us who won the game.
UNC. First.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That total fix. NCAA wanted to see UNC win. Anybody that knows anything about lacrosse knows that this was bought and paid for long ago. You can't trust anything they do out there.
Now, obviously, we've kind of ruined the joke here because we were going to only do it for a few seconds, but I'm actually curious. Do the UNC lacrosse players go to school, or does that only count for UNC football and basketball players? Like, do they take classes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The UNC women's lacrosse team also beat Maryland to win the national championship.
Wow. Deja vu.
Got to be a party down in Chapel Hill tonight.
Man. It's like when UConn women's and men's won, right?
Got it. Exact same thing, yeah. Now, the thing about women's lacrosse is they don't wear the helmets. So, like, women's lacrosse, more dangerous sport, more hardcore than men's lacrosse.
Also, Northwestern won a national title, and if Northwestern can win a national title in the sport we're talking about, that's not a real sport.
I agree. That's a good rule to live by just in general.
So, women's lacrosse, sorry, not a real sport. All right, that was our talking lacrosse. Scintillating stuff. Can't wait for you to fill us in next year, the day after Memorial Day, Hank. Be ready. Make sure you do some research, okay? Did we lose you, bro?
Hank, you there? Okay. So the lettuce got in his ears, couldn't hear you.
All right, let's do some PR 101. I mean, it's just the Johnny Manziel PR. Like, that's the segment. We're just renaming it Johnny Manziel. He went missing on Memorial Day. It begs a question. Are you missing if no one searches for you?
Oh, don't say that. People were searching for Johnny. The answer, I will answer your original question. No, you're not if no one's looking for you. Like,
right.
I've heard the song Goodbye Earl by Dixie Chicks. If you're a missing person that nobody misses, you're just not there. You're not right. Missing. But what I love about what Johnny did was Johnny pulled a middle school move today. Johnny Manziel ran away.
Yes.
You don't hear about that anymore.
Mom, like, I'm gone. I'm out of here. And then you like go like two blocks and you realize you have nowhere to go. Yeah. That's what he did.
But it worked. Like, people were missing. I can't believe we goofed this bad, because how many times have we given PR to Johnny Manziel?
And all we had to say was, Johnny, just run away for a day?
Just run away and make people miss you. That's all that we had to do, and it was right in front of our face, and we never got to it. So, yeah, Johnny ran away. I guess he's okay. But we had some breaking news that we wanted to cover, didn't we?
We do. Breaking news to this show. Let's hope it's still breaking news. I think it will be. We have we're in the possession of pictures that are not on the internet that we will put on the internet. Pardon My Take will put on the internet. So follow Pardon My Take on Twitter. It is Johnny Manziel drawing penises on people's faces over the weekend. So that's where he's at.
And Hitler mustaches.
And Hitler mustaches. Okay. So classic gag. Who doesn't? I mean, guy probably fell asleep with his shoes on, right? Can't do that. That means you get the dick on you. And Johnny had to. That's man law.
I think it's a step up for Johnny to be the one that's drawing the penises and the Hitler mustaches, as opposed to being on the receiving end of it. Like, although, it sounds like Johnny, he's pulling his life together here a little bit.
Although I don't think Johnny's ever had this done to him, because I don't know when the last time Johnny actually slept was.
That's a good point.
Like, you'd have to fall asleep for someone to draw a Sharpie penis on you. And I'm just looking at Johnny. I'm just looking at the facts. I don't think he's slept since like 2013.
Okay. So what we do know is that Johnny was partying with someone this weekend who at some point ran out of coke and passed out. And then Johnny drew Hitler's stash on him. Is that fair to say? And then Johnny ran away.
Johnny Manziel. We've come a long way since our first PR 101 with Johnny Manziel telling him he should change his name. He is now running away and drawing Hitler mustaches on people. We're proud of you, Johnny. We're proud of you.
So, like, it's getting back to where we can give, like, some actual PR advice to Johnny, because he's, like, if he's getting a little bit better, maybe it's time for him to change his number. That would be a good one, right? Like, get rid of number two.
Just spitballing here.
Now you're maybe, number three.
Maybe he does, like, I'm back on a drunk guy's face. Like, the greatest I'm back statement. It's like it rivals the MJ facts. It's just, here's a penis, and then I'm back, maybe, comma, bitches. That feels right for Johnny. We just add a little to it. And then he comes back, and he's the best quarterback in the NFL.
I love it. I think we're right around the corner here for Johnny. Johnny, you've done a great job the last couple weeks. Now it's time to strike while the iron's hot, buddy. You can do this.
But let me just say this, Johnny, because we know you're listening. You can't run away again. You can't be the kid who runs away twice. So
once. Yeah.
That was your one try.
We missed you.
Do that again. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't scare us like that again, Johnny.
Right. And next thing you know, you're gonna fake run away, and everyone's gonna be like, I'm not looking for you, and then you're caught in a gorilla pen in the Cincinnati Zoo. That was a nice segue.
Yep.
To our thoughts and prayers to the gorilla thick Harambe. Harambe.
Harambe. Let's be honest though. Like, that's not a bad PR move for Johnny either, to like fall into the gorilla pit and almost die.
Because as we've learned over the weekend, that if you fall into a gorilla pit because your mom is negligent or you're a stupid idiot who's crawling into a gorilla pit, they still take your side because you're human, and they shoot the unarmed 17-year-old gorilla.
Kind of sucks that the gorilla is 17. Like, I thought the gorilla was 5 and that gorillas only lived to be like 10 years old. So I wasn't too heartbroken over it. But Harambe was like 17. Like, that gorilla was almost – that gorilla could drive a car. I honestly believe that if they had taught it how to drive a car
the
time it was like 6 years old, it could navigate through the streets of Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah. I was looking at the picture of that gorilla. I don't want to get too sidetracked here, but have we ever thought about making a gorilla as a fullback?
Yeah, of course we have. I think about it all the time. Like, okay. Yes. Okay. I think.
All right. Just want to make sure we're on the same wavelength. We are.
I was talking to somebody earlier today, and it just amazes me how far Darwinism has come. Like, we talk right now when we do the cute little Darwin Awards every year, like, oh, this guy got drunk and, like, went hot air ballooning in a lawn chair, and so Darwin took him. Like, death has gotten so specific recently that it's had to target the dumbest of the dumb people. Like, back in the day, real Darwinism was like, oh, you were born with no legs, so you died when you were, like, 6 months old. Sorry. Like, now we're getting too cutesy with the Darwin. It's like, okay, this kid fell into a gorilla pen that he climbed into on purpose. I'd like to see death be a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more ambitious, and start really thinning out the herd a little bit more for us.
Should we take death's man card? Is that what you're trying to say? The pussification of death?
Yeah, death has become pussified. That's exactly what I'm saying. Hey, Hank, let's take death's man card.
I love these moments. It's like Cecil the Lion, because we get like a tweet. You never know when this is going to pop up, and you're all of a sudden having a debate on gorilla body language on Twitter. Like, people saying that Harambe was actually defending the kid. Other people saying Harambe was aggressive and he needed to be shot. That's an actual debate that occurred on Memorial Day weekend when everyone was drunk and barbecuing. We're talking about gorilla body language. Mm-hmm. I will say, though, thank God someone jerked off Harambe. We have his semen, so at least he will live on. And Hank actually informed us that his grandmother is still chilling in the crib. That's got to be a sad day for Grandma Harambe.
Do gorillas understand funerals? Like, can they have a funeral and, like, get all the gorillas lined up? And I don't know. It'd be sad. I don't know even know a reason why to do it, except just out of morbid curiosity. But I feel like they should have some sort of service.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, I don't know. Should we fire up the hashtag again? All lives matter for Harambe? I think that's only fair, right?
Yeah. I mean, we need to get together and show respect, and we all need to grieve. And I feel like we haven't had our opportunity to grieve in our separate ways.
All lives matter. Yeah. All lives matter. Harambe. Remember Harambe.
Did you guys hear how the child got into the pit?
No.
The child slid under a fence, threw wires, and climbed over a moat wall.
This child is a plant, man. This child wanted Harambe dead.
Do you think that Harambe is, like, happier now that he's dead than living in some, like, terrible enclosure in Cincinnati?
We went to Cincinnati. We had Skyline Chili. Harambe, you are in a far better place, my friend.
That's what I'm saying, man.
You're the winner here, Harambe.
But thoughts and prayers still, Harambe. We're all thinking about you.
Yeah. All lives matter. All right, you got a sorry, not sorry?
I do have a sorry, not sorry. Yeah. Sorry, not sorry, but the people that camp outside of NFL training facilities holding signs that say, let me get a tryout, all I need is a shot, I'm hungry, they're pretty much terrorists. Because what they're doing is they're going on like a hunger strike, and they're saying, okay, I'm out here, I'm not going to be able to feed my family unless you give me a chance to play football for your team. That's not how it works. You can't bypass the system. Too many people do too many mock drafts every year for you to just show up on someone's door completely outside of the mock draft system and beg for a job.
We should do this.
That was the next thing that I had.
I know.
I wrote down, I was like, maybe if I did it, it would be okay.
I actually think, so we need to do this. So when training camp comes around, what facility should we wait outside of?
In what position? Like, we could say that we're kickers, or like try it for a real position.
Kickers and holders. Like, we're a team. We only kick and hold together here. You can't separate us. It's a package deal. If you want one of us, you got both of us.
I'll kick. I'll be the kicker. You can be my holder. Okay. And I don't kick for anybody else but Big Cat.
Okay. And maybe Hank will be our long snapper. I feel like someone's got to give us a tryout if we choose the right team. That's my problem with this guy. Is this guy still waiting at the Patriots facility?
I don't know. There was a dude at the Patriots place. There was a dude in Houston this year. Here's what we do. We go to Minnesota. Okay. Blair Walsh had a little playoff accident last year.
Yep.
Missed an easy one. I can make that field goal. Ten times out of ten, I can make that field goal.
With me so holding.
Only if you're holding. I feel like we're upgrades. So
Mike Zimmer, also big McDonald's guy. Maybe we just get a ton of hamburgers and just go bribery route.
That usually works. Or we use our connection and get into the Bills.
I like that as well. We have lot of connections in the league. We got a lot of feelers out there.
Rob Ryan is basically like our best friend right now. So if we showed up, you talk about a coach that if you showed up with a couple Whoppers, like we show up with Whoppers and Labatt Blue and Rob, they give you the keys to the Bills facility.
And the nice thing is I've noticed all these other people, they like wait under an overpass because it rains and they have to stand out in the weather and it's awful. We'll just sit in the bus all day. We're going to sit in the bus. We'll take the easy route. We'll just be like, we're not moving this bus until you give us a tryout. And if they just don't give us a tryout, we'll just hang out in the bus.
Is there a way for us to do this like in the corporate world too? Like try to get a job at Google or
should take the bus everywhere and just try to get jobs.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm writing this down. This is a fantastic idea. Maybe we do, instead of Grit Week, we do Job Week. And we just pick like 5 different places we want jobs. And we sit there and we say we're going to wait all week, even though we only have like 24 hours.
Yeah, that'll be between us.
If we make some demands, I think people will move.
We'll say that we're on a hunger strike, but we're going to cheat on that hunger strike. Like we're going to have bags of chips and jerky and stuff, and we'll be in the bus the whole time.
I don't think anyone would look at me and be like, that's a hunger strike guy. So I think maybe we go a different route. Maybe we say we're going to light ourselves on fire like those guys on the cover of the Rage Against the Machine album.
The monks? Yeah. Well, what you can do, what we learned from Indy, is you can fill a gas canister with any type of liquid you want.
Yes.
So we'll just like douse ourselves in Pedialyte and like hold up a match. We'll do it. The thing about a hunger strike is nobody really cares if you eat or not. They don't really look into it that hard. So as long as you say that you're not going to eat, and as long as you have a plan, you never hear like an update story of I hung out with this guy for 24 hours and he didn't eat.
You do need to get a little bit skinnier. I think if I just put my face in a bucket of ice water, I think that would suffice for a 2-day hunger strike. Like, look how skinny I am. Just get into some really cold water, tighten everything up. Boom, hunger strike.
I guess that's what cold water is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Final thing. We have an Olympic update. As you know, the Olympics are in Rio this summer, and we have our usual environmental disasters, government corruption. They're really hitting it all. So we have a quick update. I guess there was a police raid in the favelas because there was a gang rape. That's some really cheery news coming out of Rio. And now Pau Gasol is also contemplating not going because of the Zika?
The Zika virus, yeah. The
Zika virus. So yet again, Rio doing a great job because, of course, no one gives a fuck about like who's on the, you know, decathlon team. Does anyone actually care about that? But we do care about all the problems in Rio and the threat of it not being in Rio, even though it's going to be in Rio. Mm-hmm. So good job on them. They're getting the threat to like a red level when you got police raids and star athletes saying they're not going to come.
How about Marc Gasol not saying anything though? Like he's kind of like big time and baby bro, right? He's like, oh, this
older
brother's
bro.
Not
yeah,
going.
Older bro. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's still saying like, okay, I'm sorry that Powell doesn't have the same level of patriotism that I have.
Right.
This is something that should be thought together as a family. Ballsy move by Powell saying like, I'm not going to go to the Olympics this year, just assuming he was going to be put on the team. Like, way to jump out in front of the story. Maybe they were looking to get a little bit younger at center.
That's what Kobe should do. Yeah. Kobe should be like, the Zika fly is really making me nervous, guys. I'm not going to go to the Olympics this year.
That'd be perfect, right? Hell, get Allen Iverson on it, too. Like,
yeah. That's PR 101. We just stumbled upon it.
I want to make it clear, if asked to play on the United States rugby team in the Olympics, I'm just too scared of, like, getting that weird virus and then having deformed kids. Not going to take the chance. Appreciate the offer, but just count me out on this one.
Yep, I agree. We finally have the last thing to leave us for the show. Update, I got officially blocked by Nyquist the horse.
Thoughts and prayers.
I'm so happy. I think I called him a pussy for not racing in the Belmont, even though he has AIDS. Does he have AIDS?
Yeah, well, so I basically was a real dick to that horse for like 3 days on Twitter, and nothing.
I just fired off one tweet, and I guess it really got you know, Nyquist the horse, all sensitive on Twitter. My one tweet got him all upset. Boom.
Yeah, his bridle up. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I told him that Secretary never called in sick, which is a fact. You can look that up. By the way, this horse is a total pussy.
Oh, like, my God. The worst. This horse is the worst. He said, someone tweeted at him like, why are you so sensitive? He said, go bother Exaggerator. So he wants us to troll another horse.
So either he's bullying.
Either you're against horse trolling or you're not, Nyquist.
He's clearly a bully horse that's like trying to pick on. He's so mad that he got beat this one time. He doesn't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
So he just quits and tells everybody to make fun of the better horse. Yeah, okay. I think we know who the bigger horse in this situation is. It's Exaggerator. I'm sorry that I ever made any money off Nyquist.
Classic. Seen it a million times. Horse that can give it but can't take it.
Can we get Randy Moss on like next week to talk about it?
We will, before Nyquist the Belmont. And we will make sure to ask him, why is Nyquist such a baby on Twitter?
You want to talk about like the most overrated horse winners of all time? I feel like Nyquist is on that Mount Rushmore.
It has to be now. But all of a sudden, sick, missing the Belmont, blocking the haters on Twitter. Can't take a little trolling. Weakest horse I know. Fact.
And that's can we take his man card? I feel like that's too many man cards to take in one episode. We'll let him have it.
Listen, he was never a man to begin with, as far as I know. All right. Tomorrow we have our good friend, Michael Rapoport, back to talk about the NBA Finals and special boys. 3 months, 3 month anniversary. Pardon my take.
Wow.
We'll have to get a little teary-eyed. Yeah. We'll talk about that tomorrow. We will see you on Wednesday.
Take on me. Take me on. I'll be there. Coming for you anyway.
Hey boy, she's waiting there for you.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.